This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Rabbi shakri sadri wa yasiri amri wa ahla uqdamil lisani yafqahu qawli. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all those who follow his way with righteousness until the last day. Today I have a very important topic related to our aqidah, our belief and our internal ibadah, the acts of worship that we do within our hearts. It's a topic that many of us know about on a theoretical level, but on a practical level, many of us are unaware of how to utilize it, how to do it. And that is the topic of tawakkul, putting one's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of us know that this is part of our aqidah, that we as Muslims put our tawakkul in Allah. We know we are supposed to have tawakkul in Allah. We know that this is a necessary component of our faith. But there remains in the Muslim ummah misunderstandings about tawakkul, a lack of clarity on how to do tawakkul, and some really strange ideas related to tawakkul. So what I hope to clarify over the next 30 minutes or so is, what is tawakkul? Why we are supposed to have tawakkul, the effects of tawakkul, and most importantly, the bulk of this topic will be on how to practice tawakkul in a practical manner. And so I hope by the end of today's presentation, we all will be able to go back to our businesses and our work and tackle it with tawakkul, to work while trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to get started, our definition, what is tawakkul? Tawakkul means to trust Allah with your future. To trust Allah with your future. To trust Allah with your money, your safety, your life, your family. This is called tawakkul. When we recite Ayatul Kursi and lock our doors and go to bed at night, trusting that Allah will take care of our property while we are asleep, that is tawakkul. When we come for Jum'ah, and we leave our businesses, and we come to the masjid, and we trust Allah to protect our businesses from criminals while we are at the masjid, that is tawakkul. So tawakkul means to entrust Allah to guard and protect you and your dunya. And the concept of tawakkul is directly linked to the concept of rizq, sustenance. What is rizq? Rizq means everything that Allah has given us. Our life is rizq. Our families, rizq. Our iman, rizq. Al-Quran, rizq. The guidance that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reached us through the narrations of hadith is rizq. Our intelligence is rizq. Our free time is rizq. Our youth is rizq. Our health is rizq. Our money is rizq. Our food is rizq. Our homes is rizq. Our cars are rizq. Every single thing that Allah has given you is called rizq. Tawakkul is related to rizq, in that we trust Allah to give us what we need to get through the dunya. This is what tawakkul means. Tawakkul is also related to another aspect of aqidah, which is belief in qadr, belief in destiny. Because it is mentioned in the authentic hadith that when our soul is put into the fetus, in our mother's womb, 120 days after the fetus is conceptualized, the angels are told to write down the qadr, the destiny of that soul, which includes whether he is going to be wealthy or poor. Our destiny is already written. So tawakkul is linked to qadr, and later I'm going to explain how they link together in a practical manner. So we know what tawakkul is. Why should we have tawakkul? Why? Tawakkul, one of the primary benefits of tawakkul, it lowers anxiety. It lowers anxiety. If you look at the millionaires of the world, there's two types of millionaires. Those with iman and those without. Those who have iman and who trust Allah with their wealth, they are happy, they are peaceful, they are at ease. Those who lack faith in Allah, they are worried they will lose their millions overnight. Allah puts the fear of poverty in their hearts no matter how rich they get. Tawakkul means whether you are the poorest of the poor or the richest of the rich, you are relaxed because you know Allah is going to provide you what you need to get through the day. And tomorrow He's going to provide you what you need to get through that day. So you trust Allah to take care of your future. So what tawakkul does is it removes anxiety. You go to work, but you're not stressed out about work. You know at the end of the day, Allah is going to give me what I need. So it really calms the soul. And with that removal of anxiety comes inner peace, contentment, happiness. Contentment is directly linked to tawakkul. That when you trust Allah with your risk, then you are satisfied what Allah has given you at the end of the day. So tawakkul is a very important topic. Right? We have explained what it is and why we are supposed to have tawakkul. Most importantly, we need to understand how to have tawakkul. Because this seems to be a misunderstanding in our communities. How do I trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with my future? And sad to say, in our communities, many of us don't have tawakkul. The proof of that lies in the fact that we will take up haram means to earn our risk. If someone is willing to do haram to earn their risk, it means they don't trust Allah. It's as simple as that. If you are willing to do haram to earn your risk, it means you don't trust Allah. Because you are saying that, Allah, I cannot get rich unless I do haram. Oh Allah, I cannot provide for my family unless I do haram. But you forget Allah is the one who's providing for your family. Allah is the one who's providing for you. Allah is the one who's already written how much you are going to earn. I want us to think about something. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only going to ask us two questions about money. And neither of those questions is how much did you earn. Do you know why neither of them is how much did you earn? Because Allah decides how much you earn. You don't. Allah really decided that. That's not in your control, so Allah is not going to ask you about that. Allah is going to ask you two things. How did you earn it? How did you spend it? Your risk is already written. If you're meant to get 40,000 at the end of the month, you'll get it one way or another. If you're meant to get 4,000 at the end of the month, you'll get it one way or another. Allah is not going to ask you how much you got. He's asking you, how did you get it? Halal, haram, honorable, dishonorable. And some people may ask, so if I sit at home and don't work, that means I'm still going to get my risk? I'll say, yes, you'll still get your risk. Proof of that? People who are retired, they get their risk. Children, they get their risk. You know, I know of two people who get the same amount of risk every month. One of them works very hard, the other one sits at home watching TV all day. But the one who works hard, he is earning halal risk. The one sitting at home watching TV all day, he gets his risk through what people, if you sorry for him, they give him sadaqah, they give him zakah. On the Day of Judgment, which of those two, when Allah asks them, how did you get your risk, which of them is going to have the honorable answer? They're both getting a risk from Allah. But one of them is doing it the right way, the other is sitting at home and not working. And that in Islam is wrong for a man, because if you are not aware of this, it is wajib for a man to earn his risk. Wajib, obligatory, to go out and work is wajib. Allah is going to ask you, how did you get this risk? He's going to send it to you one way or another, but are you getting it the honorable way or the dishonorable way? So, tawakkul is directly linked to risk. And people ask, how do we have tawakkul? How do we trust Allah? What steps do we take? How do we do it? So today I'm going to highlight a few of these steps. And these steps are taken from the Madarijus Salikin by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah, in the chapter on tawakkul. where he lists about 6 or 7 things you can do, that if you do these 6 or 7 things, your tawakkul increases and it becomes practical, it becomes real, not just something we talk about. Step number one, very important step, is to recognize who Allah is. If you do not know Allah, it becomes difficult to put tawakkul in Allah. Tawakkul is based on your knowledge of your Creator. Specifically, on your knowledge about the asma and sifat of Allah related to rizq. I'll give you 4 examples, maybe 5. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-razaq. What does al-razaq mean? It means He's the one providing us. Providing everything in this universe. The birds, they don't worry about rizq. They know Allah is providing them. The ants don't worry about rizq. They know Allah is taking care of them. Everything. The plants, Allah is taking care of them. Even the other planets, Allah is taking care of them. But we are the only ones who say, no, I have to take a riba, otherwise I'm going to be poor. I have to take a riba based loan, otherwise I'm going to lose my money. We're the only ones who don't trust Allah with our rizq. Even though we are the ones to whom Allah has said, I am al-Razaq, I am your provider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just al-Razaq, He is khayru raziqin. What is khayru raziqin? The best of those who can provide. Meaning what? People also provide, don't they? Fathers give their children money. Bosses give their employees salaries. That's provisions. But a human can only provide from what Allah has given him. Allah provides from infinite resources. So He is the best of providers. Allah is Al-Wahhab. You know this name, Al-Wahhab. In our times, we made a mockery of it. You know, if we don't like someone, we call him Wahhabi. We make a mockery of what? Allah's name. Allah's name, Al-Wahhab. Do you know what Al-Wahhab means? It's one of the most beautiful names of Allah that you should be using in your du'as every day. Al-Wahhab means the giver of gifts. Allah has gifted you with life. He's gifted you with iman. When we make dua for our families, we say, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh Allah, give us such wives and children that will be the coolness of our eyes. You know, we translate it as give us. But the actual word is hab. You know what hab means? Give us as a gift. We don't deserve such wives and kids, but Allah gives it to us as a gift. He's Al-Wahhab, He's the giver of gifts. If you believe Allah is the giver of gifts, how can you not have tawakkul in Allah? Allah is going to give you gifts throughout your life that you never imagined. If you believe in Al-Wahhab. Allah is Al-Kareem. What's the meaning of Al-Kareem? He is the most generous. Most generous. Do we doubt the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us? Do we doubt that Allah is going to be generous to us and provide for us more than we imagined from where we never imagined? Allah is Al-Kareem. He is the most generous. Allah tells us to be Kareem to our guests, to be Kareem to our neighbors. But as Kareem as we can be, He can never be as how Allah is. He is Al-Kareem, the most generous. The more you know Allah, the more your tawakkul increases. If we believe that Allah is in control of everything, we know only Allah can give us success. If we know that only Allah knows everything, He's Al-Aleem. Then we know that Allah knows whether success in this is going to be good for me or bad. Allah knows whether getting rich is going to be good for me or bad. So we trust Him with that. When we know that Allah sees everything, we know Allah is going to reward us for working hard, whether we get rich through working hard or not. He's still going to give us our reward. When we believe that Allah is most merciful, then whatever Allah gives us at the end of the month, we know this is Allah's mercy to us. If He has made us wealthy, it's Allah's mercy to us. If He has kept wealth away from us, that's also His mercy to us. Because that wealth may have corrupted us. Trust Allah. And you can only trust Allah when you know Allah. So learn the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last name of Allah, or rather the last quality of Allah I want to mention, in terms of recognizing who Allah is one of the very first ones mentioned in the Quran. In the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah tells us He is Rabbul Alameen. What is the meaning of Rabb? We translate it as Lord of the Universe. Rabb means Allah controls everything. Allah controls the entire universe. That means Allah controls your future. Allah controls your destiny. Allah controls your business. This is why whenever I do business, I make dua and say, oh Allah, put it in the hearts of people to buy from me. Why? Because Allah controls their hearts. Allah is the one who says, you know, when you walk with someone's walking down, Allah puts it in their person, you know what, let me go to this shop today. Who put it in their heart to go? Allah. There's like 10 other shops selling the same thing. Allah is the one who decided which shop they go into, because Allah wants risk to come to the owner of that shop. Rabbul Alameen. Now later on we'll show how we use these attributes of Allah in tawakkul. But the first step is ilm, is knowledge. The first step to any act of worship is knowledge. And the first step to putting our tawakkul in Allah is knowing Allah. The more you know Allah, the more you are relaxed in life, the more you trust Allah. When you know Allah is merciful, you are relaxed because the most merciful is taking care of you. When you are know Allah is in control of everything, no matter what's going on in your life, you are relaxed because you know Allah is in control and He's not going to abandon you. So know Allah. Step number two to earning our risk and having our tawakkul in Allah is to make an effort. Allah has created means. And the means of earning our risk is to make an effort. And this effort is of two types. A worldly effort and a spiritual effort. And most of us are aware of the worldly effort. You get a job. You start a business. You go out there and you earn your income. That is the worldly effort that is wajib upon every male who has a family. It is wajib upon the male to take care of his wife and children. Therefore, it is wajib upon the male to earn income and to work. So working, running a halal business, working a job, no matter what their job is, it is an act of worship if you are doing it for the sake of Allah. And there's no such thing as a lowly job. Once a man came to Rasulullah ﷺ begging, and Rasulullah ﷺ told him to take his axe to go and chop some wood and to sell it as firewood. He said, that is better for you than anything you get to begging. Whatever that job is, you earn your risk the halal way, the noble way. So to make an effort is part of tawakkul. It's not against tawakkul. There's a story that in the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, there were some young men who used to sit in the masjid all day. So Umar, and we all know how Umar radiallahu anhu was, he walks up to these men and said, what are you guys doing? And these youngsters said, oh, we put our tawakkul in Allah. And so they're chilling in the masjid. Umar radiallahu anhu, he chased him out to the masjid. And he told him, go out there and earn your risk. Then put your tawakkul in Allah. And nowadays we really need Umar in our community to sort us out. But at least his stories are there to sort us out. So part of tawakkul is effort. Tawakkul means you go out there, you make the best possible effort. And when that effort is done, you leave it to Allah. One of the best examples of this is the Battle of Badr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was out there with his army of only 300 people. He took his army, he listened to his sahaba in terms of strategies, he placed the army in the best possible spot to fight. Then he made dua and he said, victory is up to Allah. Allah will take care of us now. But first he formed the army, he went out there, he listened to the sahaba, they formed their strategies, they strategized where they would be in the battlefield, and then at the end, he left it to Allah. He left the decision to Allah. He made the effort and then he put his trust in Allah and Allah granted him victory. But you see, one of the things he did there is the second point I was going to make. Spiritual means. Besides prepping the army and making the statues, what else did Rasulullah ﷺ do? He made dua. Spiritual means. How many of us are doing our spiritual means? How many of us every day are asking Allah for rizq? Asking Allah for barakah in our rizq. Asking Allah for rizq and tayyibah. Tayyib, halal, pure rizq. How many of us are asking Allah for this on a daily basis? How many of us are fulfilling Allah's commandments? You know, many Muslims, we forget that if we want Allah to help us, we have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do we need to do to earn Allah's help? Number one is to fulfill our obligations to Allah. The number one obligation being, pray 5 times a day. Pray 5 times a day. Are we praying the 5 daily salawat? The second one is to make sure our income is halal. If our business is haram, if it is funded upon haram, if we are doing shady dealings, Allah is not going to put barakah in it, Allah is not going to help us. And if He gives us a lot of money through that, there's no barakah in that money. It's a curse to us, it's a punishment to us. And nothing good is going to come out of it. Are we eating halal? Where are we getting our food from? Very important. More important than that is, where are we getting the money that we buy that food from? Because if your money is haram, it doesn't matter where you bought that food from, that food is haram. Making sure our intentions are noble in whatever we do. Do we have the right intention? Even with our business, do we have the right intention in our business? Are we doing business so that we can fulfill our roles as qawam, as providers for our families? This is something important to think about. And finally, apart from the spiritual means, as we mentioned in the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dua. Dua. Let us make this a part of our daily practice. Make dua. Every single day, make dua to Allah to put barakah in our rizq. Allah is in control. Allah is the only one who can change our qadr. Allah makes the rich poor and the poor richer. Allah changes people's situations. So why are we going to the banks for help instead of going to Allah for help? Why are we going to the loan sharks for help instead of asking Allah for help? Why don't we raise our hands and ask Allah for our rizq? I'm not saying we don't make the effort. We make the effort, then we make the dua, then we put our tawakkul in Allah. It's a three-step process. You go to work, you ask Allah to accept your work and put barakah in it, and then you trust Allah with what's going to come out from that work. So part of tawakkul is to make an effort. If you're not making an effort, that's not tawakkul. That's deviation. That's wrong. It's un-Islamic. The third step of tawakkul is to develop a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where many of us fall apart. Many of us know Allah exists, but we live our lives in a way as if He doesn't exist. We know about Allah, but we don't know Allah. We don't have that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because we don't have that closeness to Him, we don't have that trust in Him. You trust those that you are close to. You trust your best friend, you trust your spouse, you trust your parents. But when you don't know someone, that trust is not there. So the way to build trust to Allah is to know Allah. The more you know Allah, the more your trust in Allah builds. And yeah, I'm not talking about the knowledge aspect. Earlier we spoke about the knowledge aspect. Now comes the practical side of it. The part of implementing that knowledge into your life. Firstly, to look inside our hearts and to ask ourselves, is my heart connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I truly believe in Allah and the power of Allah? Am I at peace with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's a very important part. Am I at peace with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With the qadr of Allah? And that takes us to the next step. And this is a very important step mentioned by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah, which is husnul dhan billah. Think good of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith al-Qudsi, I am as my servant thinks of me. I am as my servant thinks of me. So if you think that Allah is some angry God who's going to punish you and never forgive you, that's what you get. But if you think that Allah is my loving, my merciful, my generous creator who is going to take care of me, then that's what you're going to get. We live in a time where husnul dhan is gone from us. We don't even have husnul dhan of each other. Husnul dhan means to think good of others. So we assume the worst of each other. And I mentioned this before when we did the tafsir of Surah Hujarat, we have to revive the sunnah of husnul dhan when dealing with other people. Think the best of other people. You know, husnul dhan, do you know the extent the early scholars went to with husnul dhan? Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah said about husnul dhan, he said that if I saw alcohol dripping from the beard of someone, I would assume that somebody else pulled alcohol on him. He said, if I heard someone saying, Ana Rabbukumul A'la, I'd assume he's reciting Quran. Wow. Because that's a verse in the Quran. Husnul dhan, thinking the best of someone. We the opposite. We say, oh, this guy is awake at 1 a.m. Must be up to something. He must be up to Qiyamul Layl. Why not think good of him? Now, if we don't have husnul dhan with each other, even more important than this, husnul dhan about Allah. You know, when you talk to the average Muslim today in our community, our thoughts about Allah are really warped. You know, we think of Allah as this angry God who just wants to send everybody to Jahannam. I know where this idea came from, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said He created His mercy and He split it into 100 portions. And only 1% of His mercy He sent to this dunya. And He saved the other 99% for the day of judgment. So whatever mercy you see in this world is just 1% of Allah's mercy. Everything else is saved for the day of judgment. That's Allah. Why don't we believe in the mercy of Allah? Why don't we believe in the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think good about Allah. Think about Allah good when you make dua. That Allah is going to answer this dua in one way or another. Remember when we make dua and we have wishes of dhan billah, then Allah is going to grant us one of three things. He's either going to answer our dua exactly what we ask for, or He's going to give us better than what we ask for, or He's going to protect us from some calamity instead. Because He knows what we ask for is not good for us. Either way, He's giving us something. But we don't have the tawakkul. Part of tawakkul is to think good about Allah. Whatever comes out, Allah is going to give me what I need. So husnul zan when it comes to your business, and it comes to your work. You go to work, you run your business, you do whatever it is that you do to earn your risk in a halal way. At the end of the day, you know what? Allah is going to take care of me. Allah is going to provide for me. There's nothing to stress about. There's nothing to worry. Allah is taking care of me. That's husnul zan billah. To assume the best about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even on those days and those months where you don't really make a much of a profit, where you're doing badly, you still think the best of Allah. You know what? Allah has given me less this month because Allah wants me to be a better Muslim. He wants me to be less attached to the dunya. Maybe I'm getting too attached to the dunya. That's why Allah has given me a difficult month so I can realize what's more important. Think good about Allah. You know, when Allah sends difficulty to our lives, the difference between a person of husnul zan and a person who does not have good thoughts about Allah. The person who has good thoughts about Allah, when a difficulty comes to him, he says, Allah is testing me and purifying me of my sins. And the person who does not think good about Allah, what he says? Allah is punishing me. Immediately mind goes to punishment. Allah is punishing me. Allah is testing you. If you go into say the test the punishment, it becomes a punishment. So think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is part of tawakkul. The next step of tawakkul is to get rid of the waswasa of shaitan. Allah has told us in the Quran that He will provide for us, so don't worry about it. And in the same Quran, Allah has warned us, shaitan will threaten you with fear of poverty. This is one of the specific things Allah mentioned. From all the traps of shaitan, Allah specifically mentioned this one. What is shaitan going to put in our hearts? Fear of poverty. That's why today we have billionaires. Billionaires who are afraid of poverty. They're afraid of losing everything on that. You know, Bitcoin crashes, I'm done. That's the thing these guys mind. I'm finished. The guy loses 7 million, he still got 10 million, he commits suicide. It's fear of poverty. That's shaitan messing with the mind. We need to get rid of that waswasa. We need to know shaitan's plan and we need to fight against it. Shaitan's going to put the thoughts in your head. He's going to tell you, you know what? If I don't take a riba-based loan, I'm done. I'm going to be poor for the rest of my life. Shaitan's telling you that. What did Allah tell you? What did Allah tell you? Allah told you, firstly about the riba, that if you take that loan, you're waging war with Allah. You think Allah can put barakah in your risk if you're waging war with Allah? Secondly, Allah promised you in the Quran, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَنْزُقْهُ مِنْ عِيْسُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَقَّ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. In Surah Talaq, and it's interesting this is in Surah Talaq because normally it's at the time of Talaq that people are scared about their future. Allah says in Surah Talaq, whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will open the doors for them. He'll make a way out for them. And He'll provide for them from where they never imagined. وَمَنْ يَتَوَقَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever has tawakkul in Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Allah is enough for them. Allah will take care of them. This is Allah's promise. So when shaitan puts the waswasa in your head, count it to the promise of Allah. When shaitan says, if you don't do X, Y, Z, haram, you're going to be poor, say, no, Allah said that He's enough for me. Hasbunallah. Allah said He's enough for me. I believe in the promise of Allah. Say that. We must rid our heart of the waswasas of shaitan. Because these waswasas, they grow into thoughts. And these thoughts, they grow into feelings. And these feelings, they grow into beliefs and then they consume us. So whenever shaitan sends these thoughts our way, get rid of them. Because they are going to get in the way of your tawakkul. And the final step of tawakkul, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah lists it as taqweed. Ufawidu amri Allah. I hand everything over to Allah. Taqweed means to literally hand the matter over entirely to Allah. To say, oh Allah, I worked hard today, I did everything I could, I prayed all my salah, I made dua, whatever risk I get to you at the end of the day, you know, I'm leaving it in your hands. Now you hand it over to Allah. You produce something, it took you 10 years to produce it, you put it out in the market, Allah's hands down whether people buy it or not. You hand over the matter to Allah. This is really the essence of tawakkul. Tafweel is the essence of tawakkul. To just hand things over to Allah after you've made your effort, this is what tawakkul is all about. And again, you go back to the Battle of Badr. You know, when Rasulullah was making dua, and Abu Bakr came and told him, right, you made dua, now let's leave it to Allah. Let's go fight the battle and leave the result to Allah. This is tafweel. Just handing it over to Allah. When Rasulullah and Abu Bakr were making the hijrah, and they hid in the cave, and that's as much physical effort as they could make. There's nothing more you can do beyond that. They just left it to Allah. Allah took care of them. And Allah took care of them. He protected them in that cave. Even though the disbelievers passed right by them. So when it comes to our business, and it comes to our work, do we hand the matter over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, I mentioned at the beginning of this talk that linked to tawakkul is belief in qadr. And now I'm going to show you how they link together. We said tawakkul is trusting Allah with your future. Linked to that, when it comes to what's already happened, comes the accepting of qadr, accepting your destiny. So many of us, we do it the wrong way around. You know, we say, you know, Allah already decided how much money I'm going to earn, so no need to work. So Allah already decided whether I'm going to Jannah or not, so no need to do ibadah. That's the wrong approach to qadr. The right approach is you work hard, you put your tawakkul in Allah, then after it's over, then you say qadr. This is what Allah wanted from me. After it's over. Right? So even Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he said, after you make tawakkul, and you receive the result of whatever that effort was, here comes one of the greatest acts of ibadah you can do next. An internal act of ibadah. And that is rida bil qadar. To be happy with your destiny. Now not everybody can do this. So a lower level in this for the average Muslim is to accept your destiny. There's a difference. There's a difference between someone who accepts his destiny and someone who's happy with his destiny. What's the difference? We see in the lives of the Sahaba, you know, for example, nowadays, someone's husband passes away. Right? That person, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that's accepting your destiny. The Sahaba, the husband who died in the battle, they say, alhamdulillah, my husband is accepted as a martyr. That's a rida bil qadar. That's being happy with your destiny. That's the difference. Right? Someone loses their business. And making sabr is accepting your destiny. Say, Allah took this away from me because Allah has something better planned for me and I'm happy with that. That's being pleased with your destiny. And this is very hard. This is amongst the greatest acts of worship. To such an extent, you know, some of the books say that rida bil qadar is one of the qualities of the awliya. Because it's that hard to do. You know, to be happy when things go wrong. It's that hard. But this is, you know, if you want to earn that extra reward. To be happy with whatever you get. So how does this work? Let me give you a practical example putting all of this together in the context of business. You wake up in the morning and you start today with Salatul Fajr to remind yourself that Allah is your provider, Allah is Al-Kareem, Allah is Al-Wahhab, Allah is most generous, Allah is the giver of gifts, Allah is going to take care of me. You go to work to make your effort because it is wajib and Allah is going to ask you how you earned your risk. So you go, you do halal work. You make sure you are earning halal money. You make dua to Allah to put barakah in your efforts for that day. If shaitan sends any thoughts to you throughout the day, you put those thoughts aside. You think good of Allah. You trust Allah. You are at peace with Allah. At the end of the day, you close your shop, you go home, you hand over the matter to Allah, you relax, you enjoy your evening. And whatever money you get at the end of the month when you calculate your bill, you say Alhamdulillah. Whatever it is, you say Alhamdulillah. Why? Because you did dua. The end result is from Allah. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet ﷺ, he won the battle of Badr. Alhamdulillah. The battle of Uhud, they didn't win it. Still, Alhamdulillah. Sahaba were accepted as shuhada, as martyrs. Right? Sahaba learned important lessons. Alhamdulillah, important verses of the Quran were revealed. Alhamdulillah. This is accepting your qadr. You know, being pleased with your qadr. So when we do our businesses, when we go to work, the entire process is part of tawakkul. From the time you wake up until you go to bed at night, tawakkul is there. And in South Africa, we have so much more opportunities to make tawakkul. You know, when you lock your door and you come to the masjid, and you trust Allah that no criminals are breaking into your home or your car or your business, that's tawakkul. You earn reward for that, for that belief. When you recite Ayat al-Kursi and then you relax, that's belief in Allah, that's tawakkul. There's reward for that. So yes, we live in a community that's full of crime and full of corruption and full of poverty, and we ask Allah to get rid of all of that and to make this from amongst the most blessed and beautiful of communities in the world. But while we are here, we take this opportunity to practice tawakkul, to trust Allah with our safety, to trust Allah with our protection. So, just to conclude, just to recap everything very quickly, tawakkul is amongst the greatest internal acts of worship that every believer has to do. It's part of our aqidah. We must trust Allah. Part of tawakkul is to know who Allah is. Part of tawakkul is to make your effort in a halal way and to avoid all haram sources of income. Part of tawakkul is to make dua. Part of tawakkul is to think good of Allah. Part of tawakkul is to get rid of the whispers of shaitan. And part of tawakkul, the final part of tawakkul, is to hand over the end result to Allah. And after tawakkul, to accept your qadr. You do all of this, your entire existence is worship of Allah. You're in that shop, whether you're selling burgers or you're selling tools or you're selling hardware or software or computers, you are doing ibadah. You are doing tawakkul. It is an act of worship. So if we do all of these things, every day our entire lives become an act of worship. And when you have tawakkul in Allah, you will never turn to haram sources of income. You will never turn to riba-based loans. You will never turn to shady dealings. Because you trust Allah that if I stick to halal, Allah will provide for me in a halal way. We end by asking Allah to put into our hearts the reality of this deen, the love for Him, the correct understanding of this deen, to make us from those who truly believe and practice upon what we believe, to put barakah in the rizq of each and every one of us, those amongst us who Allah has blessed with abundant rizq to make it pure and halal and blessed and a means of benefiting this ummah, those amongst us who Allah has tested with less rizq, we ask Allah to grant them abundance, and to make them from those who are wealthy, and to make that wealth blessed and pure, and to make it a source of khair for this ummah, and to make it such that we don't have to worry about dunya so we can focus on our akhirah. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.